Well, if you're a parent, we've got something that can help you. The book is called Bounce Back Parenting, a field guide for creating connection, not perfection. Its author, Alyssa Marquez, joins us. Good morning, Alyssa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Okay, what is your, give me your credentials as a to write about parenting.
Well, I'm a mom.
All right,
I'm
stop.
A mom to three kids, and I thought that parenting would just be so easy, come so naturally to me, and was in for a complete shock naturally when I had my first child, that it was not quite so simple. What's that, the phrase, I was a far better parent before I had children? And I started writing almost 10 years ago now online, just writing about my experiences. I'm really figured, all right, I'm not a parenting expert, but I'm pretty good at learning things from my mistakes. So this book comes out of years of studying positive parenting and then writing and working with parents all over the world and helping them have more connection with their kids, as I've discovered how to have more connection and strong, healthy relationships with my own children.
Did you learn everything you needed to know after one or after two? Or
oh, gosh.
Still a work in progress.
No, after, I don't know everything I need to know yet. I am still learning, and that is really the heart of what I write about in Bounce Back Parenting, is the idea of having a growth mindset as a parent and realizing that we can be growing, learning human beings and have healthy relationships with our children. And in fact, by being people who are learning with our children, that improves our relationships.
What does the phrase bounce back parenting mean?
Well, parenting, more than anything else in my life, has taught me the value of resilience. I've had to learn how to bounce back from challenges and from just parenting stumbles. And I love the idea that it's not so much about being perfect. It's more about learning how to have that bounce back, that resilience, and gain strength from the challenges along the way.
It's almost the phrase, because we heard the phrase, you know, kids, they're resilient. Let's give some of that
right.
back to the parent, right?
Yeah.
So let's give us
this time we can look at that.
Give us some of the things that we might be able to do. Craig and I were kind of going over that list about how to turn around a bad day, and his only question came up: how do you dance like a camel? That's what he was trying to.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but if you try, you will probably make someone laugh or injure yourself. I'm not sure.
That's right. Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in fact, a lot of times, you know, our mistakes become growing options for the children. They kind of just see that, hey, we're trying to figure this out together, so they don't feel as intimidated.
Yeah. I think there's real value in showing our children that learning is a lifelong activity. And sometimes that can be really humbling. Maybe if you make a mistake that you have to apologize to your child for, but in that moment, yes, you're probably feeling bad and you're making an apology, but you're also then showing your child how to make a good apology. You're letting them receive what you hope that they can give to somebody else as well. And hopefully you are, you know, as if you make a mistake, taking it to heart and trying to learn, and then they're seeing you become a better person. And that is setting a great example.
Chapter 5 is titled Operation Pumpkin Seed. Take us through that, okay, or what that represents.
Oh, boy. Well, one of the things about me, and I think probably about many of us, is sometimes I like to be a little bit overly controlling, and it can disrupt our family life in an unhealthy way. And I really got a good look at this one morning when my husband was getting the kids ready to take a bike ride. And he's getting, you know, two of them on the bikes with the helmets and our daughter in the trailer. And I was just fussing around them, question after question. Do you have your jackets? Do you want the trailer zipped up? On and on, all these questions about are you okay, are you this, are you that? And finally he looks at me and he says, Liz, you just ask too many questions sometimes. We just need to go. And I let them go and pondered this, you just asked too many questions, and felt a little hurt about it later, but then started to realize it was really about control. I was trying to make everything go perfectly for their bike ride, and really that was taking from his experience of taking care of the children and getting them on their bike ride. And he and I talked about it later, and he gave me this wonderful analogy where he said, sometimes I find that our happiest moments in our family are when we just hold on loosely, the way that you would hold a pumpkin seed. If you hold on too tight, it just squirts out from between your fingers. If you've carved a pumpkin, you squeeze down on those seeds, you can shoot them across the room. But if you hold on lightly, you have some control, but you also let things happen. And I thought that was a beautiful analogy for many events in family life, that we're there and we're keeping the framework. You know, we're putting the helmets on kids that are on the bikes, that kind of thing. We're keeping things within the limits, but having a little bit of freedom and a little bit of lightness as well.
You also have something in here, speaking of you, he says, the beauty of a non-interruption, kind of just letting space take and time, kind of sometimes we want to rush things or get answers, kind of let things lie a little bit. Maybe it can resolve itself better.
I heard one time, I don't know how true it is or anything, but I heard that the average person doesn't go 17 seconds without interrupting the person they're talking with. That was intriguing to me, so I started a practice of trying to wait for 17 seconds, and I was shocked to find out how much of an interrupter I am. And it is always intriguing and sometimes very helpful and very connecting to let that space be there, because people need time to compose their thoughts. Especially kids, we ask them a question, and then sometimes we're hammering them with all the suggestions for their answer. But if we wait a sec, we might find out something even better.
We just want to make sure that they're paying attention. And by the way, that similar thing has come out with texting, too, that sort of social media communication. You expect an answer sort of right away, and if they don't respond right away, you're thinking they're ignoring you, or you add something on top of it. So I guess it can apply to new technology, too.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought with the social media. And then we make up stories to ourselves of why they're not responding right away, instead of maybe giving a little bit of space and not getting too wrapped up in it.
Absolutely. There's that great movie Being There with Peter Sellers, where he basically is so quiet, everybody fills in the gaps of things, and he becomes a genius and somebody that everybody in the world admires, basically from what they've, you know, put onto him. So it works out well.
Hey, 17 seconds to genius.
Yep. Craig and I are going to work on that, though sometimes Craig doesn't respond for 17 seconds, and I have to look in the studio to make sure everything is... Craig, are you okay over
there?
Yeah,
I'm good.
He's good. It's been about 2 minutes since we heard from Craig during our interview this morning. So you can tell who's the interrupter of this duo here. If people want to find out more about Bounce Back Parenting, the field guide for connection, not perfection, where's a good place, and maybe continue on following what you do?
Well, I think that a great place would be to come right on to my website, Bounce Back Parenting, and you'll be able to find not only information about the book, but that's the home of my writing and blog. I've got some fun principles there, and I've got a whole bunch of articles that help people practice connection, not perfection.
Okay. We appreciate your time this morning, Alyssa. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alyssa Marquez joining us this morning, creator of Bounce Back Parenting, a field guide for creating connection, not perfection. Craig, when I saw this book and it said field guide, I always think of the birds, right?
Sure.
You've seen the field guides. You open it up and there's like silhouettes of birds that you could find.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if there were silhouettes of kids to avoid. Like, here's the kid in the neighborhood that you don't want coming over to your house. Or here's the parent. But it's a interesting book. So.
Any sketches of camels in there?
No, there's not really any drawings here. There's worksheets in here.
Oh, good.
Blank pages for you to fill out notes and keep things, because most field guides work well if you kind of put notes and things related to that on there. So,
how about any songs in there? For the family to sing?
They don't have that.
How about the Alice the Camel song?
I'm sure you've got one for me.
All right, then.
Those kids sound a little drag. They drag a little bit.
Maybe. Maybe they need a little bounce back kidding.
I think I could write the other verses, right? Alice the camel has four humps, right? Is that where we're going with this?
Well.
Yeah, three, huh? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did you jump ahead on me on that
No, it's just it's in progress here.
Oh, I just, okay. So then three,
two, can't
one.
Stop progress.
When the camel has no humps, then then what happens?
I don't want to know.
All right. 823 at WEOL.